Good morning, everyone. It's quite a privilege to be able to preach to the champions, those who made it through the snow and still made it through. Okay. You know, you guys got hooked up to this equality thing here. So we don't do that back home. If you're the champion, you get the medal. If you didn't make it, feel sorry for you. That's it. We're not equal. Someone wins, someone loses. Let's face it. And that's, by the way, is a very important principle that we tend to ignore. When we come to God, it is written. Those who endures through everything gets the prize. Well, how about those who tried but not quite? Well, I'm sure God has something in stock, a little candy for him. Oh, no. It says, it hurts because, once you got it, you got it. Once you didn't, you did it. But hey, let's not hook up to the worldly doctrines. We are here to win. They got us poisoned by the idea, well, if you're winning, you are offending someone. No. If you're not winning, you're offending God. But our call is to help others to win. And here's the important thing, together with us. That's what the world doesn't want you to do. You got to help someone around you to win. What they want to do, they want to blow it down and water it down to the point that nobody wins. Then we're all creepy. And they can feed you with the fast food and these doctors and prescriptions. What a crap, excuse me. It's killing you. Instead of you holding on to God. Look, I've been preaching this for years here. During Obama and anybody else who was in power. Because this is true. I came out of equality thing. I came out of socialism. There is nothing there. Nothing. If you work hard, you get a reward. But what does socialism do to you? There's someone who doesn't want a war. He still gets it. Well, here is the thing. What's the point of winning? Oh, there is no point. There is no point to win. Why? Why should I? I can still hook up the social security thing and that's it. Or the welfare. Why? Why should I try? And then you are turning yourself into a mess. There's going to be no reward for that, folks. Absolutely none. And that's what God wants us to embrace. We are here to win. And we are here to win together. We got to help each other to win together. We have everything that it takes to make it happen. Amen. Amen. Sorry, guys. I just had to tell that. All righty. Hey, I didn't ask for it. You said so. I didn't pull your turn. Well, I want to talk to you today about grace. Life, and I've repeated myself many times here in this pulpit, I'm going to do it again today. Life is about telling stories. Because those stories are like arrows. Those stories are the testimonies of God's grace and glory that will enable us to share the beauty of who God is. Because by listening to someone else's story, you can tap into who God could be or what He can do for you too. So if God did it for a freak from the Ukraine, He might as well do it for someone who inherited the land of the free and the brave, right? He might as well do that. God takes no pleasure in choosing one over the other. No, He loves us all equally. But loving us all equally, and here is, again, this perversion comes in. If He loves us all equally, it means I don't have to do anything because He loves me equally. No. I love walking through the cemetery. I knew he would have to come in anyway. So I allowed a little pause for him. But here's the thing. I love walking through the cemetery and read testimonies. Because you know what? Everyone out there is equal. Except one thing. What's written on it? Over here, you guys kind of get it poor just to name and a date. Back home, there's a poems. You can read a testimony. You can read the story. Some of them are pretty nice and pity, but some of those I love. That's why I just love wandering through. And among those, okay, she was my mom and she was my daughter and she was this and that. And wow, we're so sorry. You're gone too early. But among some of them, you can find he lived a life I'll never forget because he left the mark. Thank you, God, for such a wonderful life. Boom, and inspires you. Even though he's equal, he's dead. I mean, he's here no more. He still speaks. His legacy still speaks up. It still could be embraced by each, every one of us. Yes, we are all equal in God's sight. What does that mean? We're all equal to win. We're not equal to lose. What they try to poison us with an idea, we're all equal to lose. Oh, no, no, no. If everybody in your class is dumb, get out of that class. Amen. Don't beam on idiots. You might as well catch it. Seriously. Seriously. That's what I read in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Watch out who you company with. You might as well company with an idiot so you might become one day. You never know. It's deceitful, yes. So we're all equal to win. God loves us all equally. He loves us to the point he hates you to lose. He hates you to go low. He loves seeing you go and roar high. Amen. That's what he wants us to embrace. That's the kind of equality the Word of God talks about. It's nothing like of this world. And that's one thing we should understand. And it's very important. And guess what? You are the preacher of it. It's not just me. Look, I'm going to be gone tomorrow. You'll not even remember my name. I don't care. The only thing you have to remember, I'm Czech, as Pastor Bill said. It's a joke. It's a joke. Forget that. It's a joke. Look, check, yes. But here is the thing. You don't have to remember me, my name. I'm going to be gone tomorrow, same as the snow. But you are here, and you can make a difference in your neighbor's lives, or your schoolmate, or even your spouse. I mean, you can make a difference, and it's in you. You've been born with it. You've been born with a destiny. Destiny that nobody else can steal from you except you could willingly give it away. Just give it away. Just give it away. I'm an outcast back home. Nobody likes me back home. Even I don't have father and mother anymore. They all passed away. I only got one brother. I mean, he still hates me. In a way that I kind of not pro-Kremlin, pro-Putin, pro-this and that. I don't care. As soon as I became Christians, and I'm not saying it for the sake of, hey, I'm the hero. I'm saying it for the sake of they dumped me as a dirt. I love being a dirt in God's hands because he might as well create something good out of a dirt, right? Amen. They all laughed me. They all insulted me because I accepted Christ. I was weeping like a baby. I didn't know what to do. I was 17 years old. What did you expect me to do? But it enabled me to appear at the table when the best surgeon performed his best miracle with a scalpel of the Word of God in me. And it's not me. It's the grace. It's the grace in all of us. Grace enables us. It's grace. It's nothing else. It's the grace. Here's the thing. You go to Starbucks. That's another and sold in this country. You go, they don't have good coffee. Come to Kiev. I'll feed you good coffee. You'll never forget. You're all equal. You all sip out of the same cup, but he was born with a destiny. And coffee has nothing to do with that. We all equal in this matter, but you have to step out of the natural in order to walk into supernatural or step into the supernatural. And that's what I love about God. It's not about us. It's not about anything in us except that one little thing called grace. It's like a seed. It's diseaseful. Once it's planted, boy, it grows into a big, massive tree. And I remember, I remember I was 17 or 18, I don't remember, but I was preaching in my home church, and it was my classmate, who wasn't really a nice guy, but we kind of kept a good contact. So he got invited to the church that day, and it just happened to be me behind the pulpit preaching. So I saw him, you know, popping his head up and then immediately out. And then, you know, things just went the way they went. And then I've heard the testimony. The guy just popped into the church. Ooh, here's my buddy. So this is what he told my friend who was a church folk. He said, here's my classmate preaching. I can't handle that. He's not going to be teaching me. He's preaching the word of God. I can take it. And it was a bit awkward, but I loved it because, look, there is the separation. It's not a kind of separation that you should really ignore. I mean, there's fact that grace enables you to no longer be a part of the crowd. It's very important. It doesn't matter what the people look like at you. I mean, what their opinion about you. How I've said it many times. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, it does. It does matter. Well, try not to moan your lawn. You'll see how it matters. I'm just saying. We don't do that back home. Why? It's all naturally grown thing. But anyway, grace. Something that I embraced, and something I'm grateful for, and something I'll always be grateful for, because it's not me. It's not my abilities. It's none of my wisdom. But there's something that comes into your life, something that gets a hold of you, something that would divinely intervene into your life, and you became something else that you've never been before. And that's called grace. Grace always enables you for something, to do something. And it's amazing that in the book of John, chapter 1, and I think it's verse 17, what the Bible tells us that law came through the Moses. But check this out. Grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Once you've accepted him into your life, you've inherited this grace. This grace I'm preaching to you about. I cannot not to preach about it, because it's all I have. Take the grace away from me, I'm nothing. I am nobody. I am still nobody in people's eyes, but I am the chosen one in the eyes of God, which enables me to walk this earth and to influence people's lives through the word of God, or by the word of God, or with the word of God, with his truth. And it's not about me. It's about me being a messenger. But guess what? It's the best job I've ever had. Amen. About 2 years ago, God has opened the door for me to go to Bulgaria for a mission. It was a nice, wonderful, wintry evening. And a friend of mine who invited me on this journey, he happened to be a pretty popular gospel singer. And he had this strange custom to sing after 10 p.m., you know, out loud, with a beautiful voice, but after 10 p.m., close to the time you wanted really to call it a night, but he didn't really care. What he didn't know, that the word singer, there's only one letter short of the word singer, like S-I-N-N-E-R. I tried to explain that to him. He didn't want to listen. He still wanted to sing. But God can use a funny circumstance like that. And in fact, if you would allow yourself on a journey with God, you'll discover there's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of silly, funny circumstance that you're going to be surrounded with that you learn from, because they are meant to lead you or bless you or empower you or enable you for something that God is calling you to do. So he was singing for a purpose, which I didn't know. So I couldn't sleep. I thought, man, I got to do something. I mean, killing him is not an option, because he brought me here. He might as well take me out back home. So I thought, I'd keep him alive. So I got to do something. And during the trip, we were pretty intense. And I've never had a thought opening the band app. It was that particular night. I had nothing else to do but opening the band messenger. So I pull out my phone and I kind of activate the band. It pops up immediately. The very first message I received, and nothing else. It was no distraction, nothing, just this. A message from Sydney, Pastor Sydney. And he said, we need someone to go to Turkey. I'm thinking, who are you talking to? Someone to go to Turkey. I'm thinking, well, why am I seeing it? I kept checking for the next 10 minutes. Nobody viewed the message. It's just me and nobody else. I'm thinking, what are you people? Are you blind? It's an invitation. Don't you see it? No, they didn't. It was just me. Me and him. And nobody else. And nobody else. And I just realized it's just grace. Start vibrating inside of me. I got to respond. And he mentioned the city of Antioch, which is biblical Antioch, book of Acts 13. I'm thinking, where in the world is Antioch? I know it's in the Bible. Where is it on the map? I got no money. I got no clue how to get there. But I wanted it. I wanted to respond. I knew as soon as I read it, nobody else. It was not for anybody else but me. God caught my attention, and he stirred up the grace that immediately responded to the call. Well, make a long story short, I signed up for something I didn't know. So 1.5 years down the road, here am I. It is my third visit to Antioch. I'm not going to tell you about the first two, but the third one is a particular interest of ours. So here is the thing. Here's another co. And after a while, you tend to develop this type of response in your life. When you see something of God coming across your book or your app or whatever, you tend to learn how to respond well. I mean, if it's there, I'm responding. Sign me up. I'm here. Whom shall we send? Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah was the only one who heard those words. Yeah, I mean, he turned to the right and left. Well, you're talking to me? Oh, yes, to you. I'm talking out loud without pointing the finger, so you would respond willingly, wholeheartedly. So did he, so did I. I've learned it. So I responded because this pastor in Turkey, he was going away for quite a long time. So he needed a group of people just to fill in for him. So my shift was for a month in July. What does that mean? It means like you are living in the oven for a month. Stick your nose out, you might as well burn it. That's how bad it was. There's no way you can walk in the street without sweating, and I mean that taking a shower in your sweat. And you know how presentable this is? You're coming to church. What, did you pee in your pants, or what happened with you? Man, look outside, it's the sun. It didn't bother them. It was just me suffering again. So here it is. I figured, okay, Armada just finished. I took the trip back home, a few more weeks at home, and I prepared myself. I'm thinking, a month in Antioch. Woo-hoo! I'm going to be alone. I brought all my books. I had the schedule. I'm going to have fun with this and that. I'm going to try this. I'm going to bring some of my folks, friends from Ukraine. We're going to run wild. Here is my story. As soon as I walked in to the apartment, I thought I'm going to be on my own. There's another dude in the apartment. A dude from Kansas. I know what's good comes out of Kansas. Oh, seriously. So I'm thinking, well, first of all, he took my room. Second of all, I mean, he's washing his shoes into the kitchen sink. I'm thinking, he's a barbarian. Hey, do you do that too? Don't scare me now. We're that close. Don't scare me. Not in a kitchen sink. If you do your dishes, don't put your shoes in it. Separate them. Just separate it. That's hygiene. What it's called back home. So I'm not alone. This is just guy. I don't know. He hides in his room. He keeps his door locked. I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? I don't listen to my music. This is going to bother him. But how are we going to? And I thought, oh, man, it's going to be the whole month. Oh, man. Oh, the whole month. Oh, what did I got myself into? But it was not the end of the story. First night, everything was fine. On the second night, I barely made it because I woke up with bites all over my body, like a nasty ones. Itchy, nasty. Here am I. Something slips together with me in the same bed. Tiny enough that I'm not able to caught it. I don't know what to do. I try to present my case to the people in the church. Just laugh at me. Nah. I try to convince them it must have been a dirt flea or flea dirt or some sort of dirt in it. Help me, please. Because from the day to every single day, there were nights when I was laying in my bed and my mind kept playing movies. I felt them crawling up my leg. No, seriously. It was mentally exhausting because I couldn't relax. I couldn't stay inside of the apartment. I couldn't run air conditioning because I thought it might have been. Then we discovered there was a nest, a pigeon nest, outside, right in between the AC unit and the wall. I might have just sucked in there all of their bugs into the apartment. I didn't know what to do. We bought this pesticides. I sprayed my bath 5 times. It didn't kill them. Or not them. I don't know who this was. But it's every single day. And then this scripture came to my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read verse 32. Apostle Paul said, if in the matter of man I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what advantage it is to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. Russian Bible says wild beasts. So in my case, they were wild. They were beastie, but they got small. And no matter what I did, I prayed, I cursed them, I took shower, was taking shower 3 times a day, nothing seems to be helping. Nothing. And then it just occurred to me one thing. I am here for a reason. It's uncomfortable, but I'm here for a reason. And I want to tell you a little bit further and what happened and what did I learn from it. Because it's an absolutely great story of God's grace. When I look at this man, Zechariah, his name was. Now we're like best buddies. The bugs were bugging me, but not him. He's in the next room. Nothing happened to him ever. Could you imagine what I thought? He looked at me like I'm making things up. Well, look at me, man. Look at me. I'm not making things up. Look at me. I mean, it hurts. I just realized God sent me for this man to help him, to train him, to do something. It's not about me. I thought this trip's going to be about fun, ministry, and about me. Because I love Turkey. I love Turkey. And it's Antioch, for Christ out loud. It's Antioch. It's a bib. I mean, you put the stick in the ground. It's history. Dig it in. I mean, it's just so you can might as well dig in a Peter's head or something. I mean, this is the historical place. It has a lot of fun. But it was not about it. I just realized that sometimes we plan ahead based on our criteria and our expectations, but God has his in mind. So he sent me out for that man, and he needed me. I needed some time alone, but man needed me. And then something happened. There's something like someone just flipped the switch and me, boom. I realized there was enough grace. Not just to bear through every day. My first day thought was, oh my God, three more weeks. Three more long, unbearable weeks. Then a few days later, someone flipped the switch and I thought, I got to do something. I want to do something for him. And then things began to happen. Things just began to happen. It was unbelievable. No, bugs were still there. Lack of privacy were still in place. But it didn't bother me at all. Well, it bothered me, but not to the point that it would distract me. There was so much grace. I want to talk about it in particular. What the grace is. What is our take on grace? Grace is what is? Is it a cloud that God can pour out rain or snow whenever we need to? No. It's not power. It's a supernatural, intentional God's intervention into your life. Have you ever found yourself walking into something and everything has been prepared without you tipping a finger in it? You've done nothing for it, but everything just laid out for you to accomplish your part. So that's what it was for me. Despite of all the circumstance, despite all the silly inconveniences, I knew he called me in the first place. I responded. It was right. There was nothing wrong with God. And I was crying, Lord, I mean, take this thorn away. Until the last day. And I told my friend Zechariah, I said, look, I know when the bite's going to stop. He asked me when. As soon as I walked into my home in Ukraine, sure enough, across the front door of my home, stopped. Here's the question. Why did Paul have to fight with wild beasts in Ephesus? What was the point? We get this picture at if you're the righteous person, there's nothing bad supposed to. You pray over your food, you never get poisoned. Tell you what. Day 3 in Pennsylvania. I'm out in Titusville. I'm poisoned by a steak. Not a snake, but a steak. Because you eat food that is still alive. There's blood running through it still. And my softened Crimean soul cannot handle that. I was out for a week. You're asking me, what was it, Titusville? Tough. A lot of snow and no food almost. I've had my steak and it was enough for the week to knock me out. See what I mean? But what I realized, once your body's suffering. And here's a very important point, because we try to make a mental connection between, okay, here's a Paul. Now, picture this. Ephesus, by the way, it's still Turkey. You are on your way to the church. And you kind of dressed nicely. You've had your coffee from Starbucks, if you're lucky enough to get Arabica, which they don't have. But that's another story. Then you got the nice shoes on. You got a company. And then here is these wild beasts.
I mean, the question is, I mean, why? Why? I'm going to ruin my shoes. I'm going to wreck my jacket. I mean, why? Why such trouble? Why those inconvenience are? I'm thinking, why did Paul had? He wasn't a young man. I mean, he's a thinker. Guard him. Carry him in your hands. He's a thinker. Let him think. No, God thought differently. He said, let him fight. So here he is fighting his way through the wild beasts. Can you imagine that? How good, I mean, what good does it do for the church who's awaiting an apostle? An apostle shows up half alive, scratched all the way, bleeding. What did happen to you? Nothing, I just walked to the church. I mean, why such a trouble? Think about it. Because we tend to not to think this way because in the time when everything is good, we don't want to think about what could have been. It's good. It's good. Good enough. Something happened. It's not. Look, it's a distant thing. Oh, yeah. But you know how life is. Today, it's not your turn. Tomorrow, you might as well get yourself into a fight. Why? That's life. Look, today, some of you fought your way through to the church, right? Right? It's not a pretty road. But there was a reason for you to get here. And that reason was worth it. Is it not? It's true. So and then I realized, Paul, and here's a very important lesson. When God sends you on a journey, forget about Turkey. Forget about Asma. Think about yourself. God sends you to help someone. God sends you to your job. God sends you to meet with someone. Or God sends you whenever. It doesn't matter. What matters is God sends you. And there's some obstacle in between, in the journey. The obstacle is not meant to distract you or kill you. It is a broken world we're living in. When you think about Ephesus, you think, all right, wild beasts. What could that be? It's just wild animals. Could be lion, could be leopard, could be bear, could be, I don't know. Could be anything. In my case, they were little beastly blood-sucking things. Invisible. It's such an inconvenience. You want to pour out your wrath. You don't know who at. Why? Because they're gone by morning. And they're active only at night. We don't know. The landlord of the apartment, when I kind of tried my broken Turkish and I kind of tried to explain the look, the bites, bugs, awful, 911, do something about it. He looked at me like, you're making things up. There's no flea in the apartment. Look at me. Do I look like I'm making things up to you? Nah, it's not here. It's somewhere else. Okay. I'm just saying. A week later, there was a knock on my door. Here's the landlord with this question, sir. What did you do? How did you treat your bugs? What happened, I asked. Well, there are bugs in our apartment. Oh, now you're talking. But here's the thing. When God sends you on the way and there's an obstacle, please do not take or view this obstacle as a sign of God is not sending you. It has no direct mental or logical connection. God sends you to accomplish something. So Paul was commissioned to get to the Ephesus as his final destination point to get some work accomplished. And guess what? You go to work. You go to work to what? Have fun or to work. Work means inconvenience sometimes, right? But you still go to work. Well, God sends you somewhere. There's some inconvenience in the way. What do? You still have to accomplish the mission. You got to be brave enough to take it like a man. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't that good. To take it like a man, to persevere, to bring God's glory in everything.
That's the truth. But what's funny, that I just realize that grace is sufficient. In what way? Well, where's grace when all of that is happening to me? I'm crying to my wife, like, honey, I don't know what to do. And I could read her mind, like, don't bring those bugs home. You know, those ladies. Anyway, I just realized when my physical condition is has been put to the test, it brings my guards down and the spiritual things are flowing freely. I cannot tell you how awesome was the time of ministry in Antioch. Everything you place your hand on simply worked. I am a wounded soldier and walking into a pulpit and it's ready. It has gotten to the point, and I'm talking about supernatural. I'm going to get you proof from the scripture. But God was working on my behalf in the midst of my circumstances, that the grace was sufficient to the point that everything has been prepared. I'm walking home and under the heat of the day. And this is July. July is the time for figs. If you never tried figs, I feel sorry for you. These are the wonderful fruit of the Middle East. Oh boy. It is. Anyway, so I tend to have this weakness and attraction to the figs. So here am I out in the field picking those figs, and it's just great. It tastes great. They're fresh from the tree. It's not anything like you try from a supermarket or the Walmart. Forget it. That's not it. It's different. It's running juice like a sugar. Not sweet. Don't freak out. Not sweet, sugarish. It's just full of flavor. But it's so sticky. And what I haven't been told in the beginning, if you want to harvest them yourself, don't wear your t-shirt. Because you're attracting more bugs. I just couldn't believe it. One feast and you're out for 2 days. So those two merged together in their attack to me. So one time picking of the fruit, and then you're going to suffer. And I remember my friend Zechariah was teasing me, saying, hey, don't look at the figs. No more temptation. Let your eyes look straight. It was like, because they're there. I mean, they're there. I mean, just reach out, man. There they are. No, you couldn't take it because... because it's sticky. It attracts some other kind of bug, and it makes it worse. It was just horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I wanted to have it. I couldn't have it. And so here am I, boldly facing the temptation, passing by every tree except one. I'm thinking, I gotta check a look. Take a look. You know, the Turkish people, when they try to sell you something, they have this approach that you would never forget. So they usually do it this way. Hello, my friend. How are you today? Oh, welcome to my beach. Don't buy. Just look. Just look. Hello, my friend. Hey, welcome to my beach. That's what they do. And it was just that particular tree. I thought I'm going to walk home because bus is too crowded. I'm going to walk, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to be preaching and what I'm going to be preaching. So the grace is operating. I'm suffering. Grace is operating. I'm suffering. Grace is up. Physically, it's difficult. Spiritually, I'm soaring. I'm seeing things. I'm helping people. I'm at my sharpest. But there's a price to pay. So I'm passing one particular tree that grows against the rock, and the tree is about 3 meter, I don't know, I'm sure how, what do we do with the feet? All right, 10, all right, 10 feet high, tall. And it's July, I mean, every tree is covered, every single tree, but this one. I've checked under every leaf, not even a bud. You know what a bud is? Because the fig tree that bears fruit twice a year, first time, the little buds, you don't have to eat them, they fall off. And then the second one is the one that you're supposed to eat. Not even a bud. Big leaves, massive tree. And here's Revelation. Jesus did the same thing. I didn't know that this kind of tree exists. Look, you in the middle of Walmart and there's no food. How about that? Is that even possible? So that's the thing. I'm in the middle of a fig season and here's this tree, massive, no fruit. I got so inspired. I ran home. I just came up with my notes and I preached about it and the people got blessed. It's just one of the examples. Grace is operating in your life, but you have to allow yourself to go on the journey of grace. Turn with me to the Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to read from verse 7. But on the contrary, when they saw the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as a gospel for circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And it goes on. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Look, Peter has been given grace to work with circumcised. Paul wanted to, but never had grace. Can you imagine? No, think about it. Paul, educated man, top, the elite, who would be compare a fisherman with an educated man. So the Paul is the better choice. He's the best fit. Yet, there's no grace. But whatever he does, even walking down to the Ephesus, wild beasts, didn't bother him. He said, look, I am a firm believer in the resurrection. Wild beasts, let it be. I'll get resurrected. That's his attitude. Why? Because of the grace. Grace is an effective working power of God in your life. But it's not going to get activated until you are on the journey of grace. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's the biggest curse of our days? Is a temptation to live for yourself only. Yeah, selfish life. Because there's never enough. Never enough when it comes to selfish. Never enough. Never enough. And yet, to the contrary, when there's grace, even a little thing always satisfies. Always satisfies. The church in Antioch, last story, and we finish. The church in Antioch, what they did, they had a front of the church as a cafeteria. So people from the street get inside and get one of the best coffee in the city. Cake. And the good music, Christian. But what they didn't know, you go about, I don't know, 5 yards, or how many steps. Further down, there's the door. You walk through the door, and there's a church. There's a sanctuary. So that's how they're working. So And our job was to hang in cafeteria, and whoever comes in, and we talk to them talk to them and pray with them. And if they allowed us, just be there. And I remember one time I finally was released from home and said goodbye to my bugs for a day. I was on my way to the church sweating. And then I arrived to the cafeteria, and here is this lady smiling at me, one of the church ladies. And she said, "Hey, I got a good news for you." I'm thinking, what now? What now? Because the day before, they made me pick those cockroaches. Cockroaches? Cockroaches. The ugly and the big. Cucarachas. All right. So, and I mean that big. Just... And I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about a handful. They all been poisoned. You have to pick them up. Oh, man. So I'm thinking, all right, there's another task. No. I said, no. There is, careful, a serial killer who wants to talk to you. I'm thinking, why me? Why don't him talk to you? I wouldn't mind. No, serious. No kidding. No kidding. It's just, it's a documentary. A serial killer who wants to talk to you. I'm thinking, what did I do? Look, I suffered enough, and now this guy's going to murder me in the heart of the Christian city. So, anyway, I don't know how it works, but in Turkey. So he was sentenced for life. But he got saved. But this is later. So he's sentenced for life. But the government releases him for a week each year. How convenient. And now this happened to be the week and he wants to see moi. No, it's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to see me because I know how to run. So anyway, I kind of laugh, but I know it's one of those God's things that he throws at you, and you got to really cooperate. There's no escape. You got to cooperate. Because, hey, once you turn it down, you coward. They're not going to listen to you. All right. Where is he? So it's just the guy and the few teeth are missing. And I mean, kind of nice guy. And he was completely converted to Christ, and he wanted just to talk about the Bible because he is there alone in the cell, and he reads the Bible, but he sometimes couldn't connect the dots, and he was wanted to check with me some of the weirdest ideas, like, oh, I read about this. How do you think? Maybe there is a space alien. I'm like, no space alien in the Bible. No. So he just wanted to talk. I'm thinking, thank God. So even in the midst of the funny circumstances like that, it's just you see God's grace. He wanted to talk to you. He wanted to talk. He wanted to have some books. So send me some books. I'm thinking, man, I have a bunch of books, but they ain't gonna be any help to you. They're all in Russian. Do you understand Russian? No. Okay. Plan B. Do you understand English? No. Then there's no plan C. So he wanted me to write him and. And by the way, I still have his address. If you are up for the job, and I'm serious, I'm going to give you his address, write him. You're going to be right into the prison to a guy who used to be a mullah, which is a Muslim clergy, and he was in Bosnia killing people. Then he got arrested, sentenced for life, turned to Christ, became a Christian, and is being released every year for a week. You don't get this until you allow yourself to go on a journey with God. In my case, it was Antioch. In your case, it could be job, family, kids, co-worker, Starbucks, or whatever. I mean, you are the light. You are the soul. You carry the potential. You have to kill this anti-grace in your life. By anti-grace, I mean stop. We should all stop living for ourselves. That's what. And as soon as you put an end to this, you'll see such a grace. You'll see such a grace that would enable you to do things that you couldn't even possibly think of, because it's not you. It's grace in you, which makes the difference. No wonder. Every single letter of Paul, he finishes with these words. Grace be with you all. Can you imagine? Paul was giving us something more than we ever been able to comprehend. It was more than just goodbye. It was grace be unto you. And there's a plenty of scriptures. I don't have time, but there's plenty of scriptures when people came to a certain church and grace in them ministered to the people. Not them, but grace in them or through them. It's the grace. You are the carrier. Remember, you're the temple. You are the living temple. You are the walking temple. Whenever you walk, you're carrying the presence. And yes, people need it. People need it desperately. But they need someone who talks their language. Some of the Christian folks in Kiev, I don't get a clue what they're talking about. They get up at the platform and I know all the statements. But it is absolutely irrelevant. Oh, bring your friend in the church. Yeah? To kill him? He'll never come to church again. Because you don't even believe it yourself. Make it relevant. So you would apply directly to the person's circumstance. That's why I'm taking such a pleasure working with two churches back home, helping, and it's just my greatest joy. I'm not the senior leader. I'm not the senior leader, but I'm taking so much joy assisting. It's a season in my life where I'm learning, and I'm taking a lot of pleasure. So my audience on Sundays are students, students who aren't unchurched people, language studies students. So you have to bring down your message to the point that it become relevant. Oh, you know, scripture says this. There is no scripture for them. They don't even familiar with the term scripture. Make it relevant. Speak their language. Show them the Christ. And you know what? After all, you go back home or even on the way, you breathe out and you're happy. You're so satisfied. You're so happy. And then you buckle up in the jet seat and all the funny things just run in front of your eyes, all the memories, and you laugh and you think, thank you, Jesus. You honored me to be part of all of that. I'm so grateful. Where is the next journey? Amen. I want to invite you to take on the invitation. In Jesus' name, grace be with you.